Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Great to have back with us today Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist. And we will be talking about how you might be able to train your dog or your pet, or maybe how to change its behavior a little bit. We're certainly looking forward to hearing what Patricia has to say and what you have to say. I'm always looking forward to hearing what Jennifer Dargan has to say as well. She is another one of my many bosses. She's the Ideas Network Assistant Director, and she comes by to help me with our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. And, you know, your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for programs. So I hope you'll step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Jennifer, we had a pretty good hour last hour, didn't we?
We did. And thanks for inviting me in, Larry. I wanted to report that last hour we heard from 36 new and returning members. So thank you so much for those gifts. We cannot say thank you enough. Right now, we have even better news. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000. This generous match was made in memory of Merle Gunther, a kind and generous listener from Columbus. And it means that every dollar that you give right now gets doubled.
It's a great way of encouraging you to join in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So you can double your support right now for the programs you love. I hope this one. Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
A really large slice of funding for WPR programs. In fact, the biggest slice is listener support. So while all of our other funding sources, the state, the federal government, and businesses are very important, of course, your contribution makes a huge difference. And WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is thanks to your support. Keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a very sneaky way of talking about donating to WPR. We call it a fall membership drive, if I'm not mistaken. And whether you tune in just one favorite program like this one, or you check it in repeatedly throughout the day or week, and a lot of people do that, you've made a habit of listening.
Right. And we really appreciate that you're there, that your listening means the world to us. Now you can make another habit, a habit of giving. Listener support, again, is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. A lot of folks don't realize that. And when you give, you make programs like the Larry Mueller Show and everything on the Ideas Network, everything you've come to rely on, possible. It's easy to donate. Get started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Live from Wisconsin Public Radio, this just in.
Did you hear?
Oh my goodness,
did
is it true?
No way, I can't believe it.
Gosh.
I'm Bridget Bowden, WPR reporter here with beta host Doug Gordon, who has the inside scoop on this membership drive's giveaway. So, Doug, is it true?
Yes, the rumors are true. Listeners who give any amount this membership drive will be entered in a drawing for two tickets to see Hamilton in Chicago. And there's more. The winner will also enjoy dinner out before the show and an overnight stay.
Wow, this is really huge. And what if our listeners want to learn more?
They can find all the Hamilton giveaway rules and details at WPR.org/drawing, including the fact that sustainers are automatically entered.
Well, folks, you heard it here first. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your pledge of any amount right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount, and we're really counting on your gift.
So, Larry, I can think of at least three great reasons to give a gift right now. Of course, the programming, the great programming that you enjoy and rely on. You can get entered in that Hamilton drawing. How cool would that be to win the Hamilton tickets plus a night in Chicago plus dinner out on the town? And the third one is that dollar-for-dollar match that we have going on. So there's no better time than right now
no better time
to give. And we know you value your time. We value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio just takes a few minutes. You just give us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how do you like to pay. That's it.
And think about it. If you're, let's say you're going to contribute $200, well, that's going to turn into $400
yes.
when it comes to the counting. So now's the time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Do it right now.
Do it right now. It's quick and easy to do, and your gift now really helps. Take the next few minutes to support the station, the network that you count on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustainer, you could, or if you're not, you could become one right now. Easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
I'm really excited to hear your conversation with Patricia coming up. Let me just give one shout out to Eric from Rice Lake, who said, "We appreciate having access to the information provided by Wisconsin Public Radio," when he made his pledge. So thank you so much, Eric. Now, how about you next get your pledge matched? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks if you've already contributed. If you haven't, do it right now. Do it right now while you're listening to Patricia McConnell talk with us about your pet's behavior. She's a certified applied animal behaviorist, international speaker. She's been, you've been all over the world, haven't you?
Pretty not everywhere, but a lot. A lot of wonderful places.
A lot of wonderful places.
My favorite was New Zealand.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was my favorite place to do a seminar and go hiking. And oh, it's gorgeous.
Had a call from New Zealand on the show about 2 weeks ago. Somebody called with a question from New Zealand.
Did they send you a plane ticket if you'd answer?
No. No, they didn't. But it was I think that's one of the furthest away. I've heard from Germany and New Zealand and some other countries. I also heard from somebody else who wondered, and this used to come up all the time when we were doing the Calling All Pets show. What is an animal behaviorist? What is it like to be one? What does one do? Can you talk about that a little bit before we take calls and so forth?
Oh, yeah, I'm really happy to. It's a bit of a squishy term in that, in that a lot of people can call themselves an animal behaviorist. I am a specific kind in that I'm a certified applied animal behaviorist, a CAB, certified through the Animal Behavior Society, which means I have a PhD in a related topic related to behavior. I basically study behavior like veterinarians study medicine.
Mm.
So sometimes people get us confused. A lot of veterinarians know quite a bit about behavior. A lot of behaviorists know quite a bit about physiology and medicine. But, you know, we're trained very, very differently, and obviously we have different skills. So we as behaviorists, as applied behaviorists, what we do is we see clients who have an animal or a group of animals of a whole variety of species who have some kind of a behavioral issue. From people working in zoological parks to, for example, one of my colleagues trains exotic animals to stand quietly for medical procedures. Another friend of mine worked at the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. You guys were talking about Chicago. By the way, if you're going to Hamilton, you definitely want to go to the Shedd, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So there's an amazing dolphin show there. There's an amazing beluga whale show there. So some behaviors train wild animals. I focused on companion animals.
Mm-hmm.
About 90% of my client load was dogs, but I also saw clients about cats and horses and some birds. So basically, I would meet with them and find out what the behavioral problem is. You know, what is the issue? And 80% of it was aggression. which sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because behaviors tend to be people who are dog trainers but also have a deep understanding of behavior and psychology and physiology. So it's basically understanding behavior from sort of every possible perspective, from genetics to physiology to learning psychology, et cetera. So most of my clients, they had a dog who was either aggressive to people or aggressive to other animals.
Yeah.
Dog aggression or cat aggression. And so I would meet with them, find out what's going on, work with their veterinarian if appropriate, and then design a treatment plan and then coach them through it.
And knowing that 80% of the time when you went to a client, you were going to have a dog that was probably interested in biting a person or another animal.
Or me, yeah. There is no small amount of risk in working with dogs in small rooms who bite people. but it helps tremendously to know, you know, that the more you know about contacts, the more you know about reading dogs, et cetera, et cetera. I was only bitten 3 times. I was very proud of that. I saw clients for 25 years. I was only bitten 3 times. So I'm quite proud of that because it's my job not to be
thousands
bitten.
Thousands of
animals. It's my job not to be bitten. Yeah. But there were a few moments.
Well, we have callers online with questions. If you have a behavior question, I hope you'll join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Judy and Verona, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I wish there was a way you could persuade Patricia to do Calling All Pets again. I miss that show.
I think it's the station you'd have to convince.
And I have a 13-and-a-half-year-old golden doodle who is just got the demeanor of the golden retriever.
Aww.
And about a month and a half ago, she was diagnosed with vestibular disease.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what your experience was. We've not experienced this before and don't know what to expect other than, you know, the vet tells us it'll slowly get better. Have you ever had dogs that had this?
I have. I've had clients whose dogs had it, and I had two of my dogs had it. My first border collie, Drift, had it. He had 3 different episodes of it. And so basically what happens with vestibular disease, it's a radical imbalance in the dog's inner ear that makes them nauseous and dizzy and unable to stand. One of the ways veterinarians diagnose this is through something called nystagmus, in which the eyes go rapidly back and forth laterally, so horizontally back and forth really, really fast. And it's very scary. I'm one of my dogs who had it. I won't describe it in detail because it was biologically very intense and gross.
Yeah.
But it's horrible. It's terrifying for the dog. Anybody who's ever had an inner ear problem themselves, you know, knows how awful it feels to have the world go be dizzy and sort of circle around you really fast. And so the good news is that in my experience, mostly dogs do heal from it. When my lassie had it, she was quite old. She was about the age of your golden doodle. And I thought she would never, you know, maybe she could walk again, but I thought she'd never run up the hill. And in a month, she was running up the hill and acting like pretty much a puppy again. So most dogs get over it as they get older and older. It did happen with my first border collie, Drift, the 3rd time he had it. He was so old and so weak. I ended up putting him down. But I would, if your veterinarian is optimistic and there aren't other health issues, I would be very optimistic. Just be patient and slow. And remember that it's very scary to have the world circling around you and to feel nauseous. So be very thoughtful about keeping your dog sort of quiet and feeling secure.
That's a good piece of advice, I think, because in terms of their own behavior, it's going to change a little bit, and you need to accept that, but work with it a little.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling, Judy. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join in at 800-642-1234 as we visit with animal behaviorist, certified applied animal behaviorist, Patricia McConnell. Jennifer Dargan joins us as well to talk about our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall member drive. And our goal is to keep bringing you shows like this, fascinating conversations on how to understand your pet's behavior. Certainly your support makes that happen because, as we've said, listener support is actually the largest source of funding for our program. So hope you'll give right now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And in case you didn't hear it earlier, Jennifer's got really good news.
Yes, we have a dollar-for-dollar match going on right now, so you can get in on that. It's in memory of Merle Gunther, a truly kind and generous listener from Columbus. And your gift of $50 will turn into $100. $100 will turn into $200, and so on, and so on, and so on. So take advantage of this match. Double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On this program, we cover lots of topics. We talk about the environment and consumer issues. We talk a lot about gardening, a bunch of advice programs. We have Wisconsin authors. I like to feature Wisconsin authors, Wisconsin food. Get a lot of great information from this program, and it's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So I hope you'll support this program right now and all the programs you enjoy on the Ideas Network. Give a gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, I became a sustaining member, I'd say probably about 5 years ago, and I think it's the easiest way to give to Wisconsin Public Radio because your membership is always up to date, and I give like I listen, just ongoing. So to set this up, you'll make ongoing monthly gifts, and you can set it up from either your bank account or your credit or debit card.
And I know some people give $10 a month, maybe $15 or $20. Some people give $100, and I think there are even folks who give a couple hundred dollars a month. But whatever amount works for you, that's the right amount. Just think about that a bit and then go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and then you can sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting the programs you value.
Take your favorite beverage on the go with the new WPR Travel Mug. It's the perfect way to show off your love for WPR.
I would put some black tea in my travel mug, and then I would put it in my bike bag and commute to work.
I put coffee in them, and I don't wash them for at least 6 months. It gets a nice crust in there, and it's like a good pipe, you know?
I put iced tea in travel mugs. I put water in travel mugs. Travel mugs are not only for coffee. I'm just putting it out there.
Ask for your travel mug today when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. I was thinking about travel mugs. I had one once that spilled right on my pants in a very sensitive area, and I wasn't happy about it. But I can guarantee with the WPR travel mug, this will not happen to you.
It's got a very secure lid.
It's a very secure lid.
Operator error aside, right?
Well, there may have been some operator error in that one. It was like 4 in the morning, and I was going out. Oh, it's a long story. You can get yourself a nice travel mug with a gift of $10 a month or more, isn't it?
$20 a month or more.
$20 a month or more. I'm sorry. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And when you do, when you make a donation, your pledge will be matched. We have a dollar-for-dollar match. Up to $5,000 still in effect. It's such a great time to donate because your contribution will be doubled thanks to a generous gift made in memory of Merle Gunther, a kind and generous listener from Columbus, Wisconsin. And it is their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Double the impact of your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And show your support with that new stainless steel mug that will not drip all over your pants. and it's got a really cool design, too. I like the design of it. It's WPR inspired, of course. So if you haven't given yet, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. taking a look at all kinds of animal behavior issues today with our guest, Patricia McCottle. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in today. Patricia, you know, we were just talking about travel mugs, and you have a pet-related travel mug story.
I do. I have a reason to get a good travel mug, as is being offered to you for your gift today. As an animal behaviorist, I was doing a house call, and I had a travel mug, and it was perched. This was before there were places to put your little glass or your travel mug in your car, right? So I put it between my legs because that's what you do, right? And, well, it spilled. So I pretty much had a, well, I'll just say it, a sopping wet crotch. And I ring this doorbell of this client, right, in Monona. And I have on pale pants with this dark stain. And this woman looks at me like in horror. And I thought, what am I going to say? And I just finally said, I have a house training problem. And there we go. So she forgave me and on we went. And so get a good travel mug. It's important.
And on we'll go with a caller here. Let's go to Jan in Viroqua now. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Patricia. I recently added a kitty to my household, and I've had many kitties, and I'd like you to talk about the significance of tail position with cats. Mine usually run around the house or mosey around the house with their tail kind of trailing behind them, kind of drifting halfway up. And a friend of mine got a new cat, and she's always running around with her tail straight up. And indeed, for the first couple of weeks I had my new kitty, he ran around the house with his tail straight up. But now it's also drifting, except when he's outside. So I was wondering if you have thoughts about what this means about their contentment or whatever.
Yeah, good for you. This is a great question, Jan. Thank you. And good observations on your part. Tail position is hugely important when you're looking at trying to figure out the internal affect or the emotions of a cat or its future behavior. My favorite cat tail position, because it's so friendly, is when a cat's tail is up, okay, it's straight up, and then its tip curls towards you. Say a cat is walking towards you. If its tail is straight up and the tip curls towards you, that's basically it's a handshake. It's literally a super friendly sign. So you think of the tail tip as sort of like a little hello. Hello,
that's
you?
Cool.
Yeah. Pay attention to it. It's really cool. Once you start watching for it, if the tail is up, the tip goes back. Not quite as friendly, but this tail going down in space could indeed be significant, because a very low tail, a tail that's flat against the hindquarters, that's a sign of a very anxious or somewhat frightened cat. If it's terrified, its tail is going to be up in a brush, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a sort of subdued or cat that's being oppressed or is anxious about something, you will see the tail go down. You know, I want to see a cat walking around with its tail high and up at least part of the time. I mean, if it's sort of horizontal and it's paying attention to a lot of other things, that's fine. But if it never goes up and you never see that sort of friendly, approaching handshake, tail shake, then I, too, would be a little concerned about the dynamics between. Now, do we still have Jan? Because I didn't ask her a question.
Right.
Jan, did I get it right? There are other cats in this household or not?
Yes. One is an elderly cat, and the new cat is a 5-year-old cat that I just adopted him.
And what can you observe about the interactions between the two cats?
They've never done more than a face-saving hiss. It's never been a real hiss, and now they're comfortable around each other. They walk in close proximity. They eat in close proximity.
And when the cat approaches when the new cat approaches you, does the tail go up?
I believe so. He certainly, certainly a considerable portion of the time.
Well, then you're probably okay. And as long as your veterinarian is sure that your cat is healthy and you're not seeing any other behavioral signs of distress, of hiding or licking or sort of avoiding areas, the tail clamped down, piloerection, ears flat, And if the eye and the face look relaxed, then you know, as long as the tail's going up at appropriate greeting times, then that's probably okay.
And the first cat had its tail straight out, more or less. Do you think the new cat is sort of mimicking what the old cat does, the other cat does, or no?
No.
Well, I thought I'd give it a try.
And I love that you did. And, you know, it was a perfectly good hypothesis. And it's possible it is true, but it's doubtful because it's more a sign of internal affect.
All right.
You know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'd love that you guessed, Miller.
Jan, thank you. Let's go to Janet in Stevens Point. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Hi, Larry and Patricia. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, the problem I have is also cat-related, and the cat is 16, and he's neutered, and we do have another cat who came into the household about 3 years ago, and she's more of an alpha cat, and she's spayed, and they're indoor cats, and I suspect this behavior of going, you know, pooping outside the box and now peeing sometimes outside the box is what's triggered by the changes in the household. But I don't know, and I've tried everything, including taking him to the vet, and I can't seem to get him to stop.
So did this start when the new cat came? So this is the older cat, right? This
yes,
is the 16-year-old? So, and this started when the new cat came?
Well, no, I'd say it probably started before. I mean, we had another cat who since passed away. She was here before that. She was even older. But she was very kind of quiet. And I also, my husband joined the household about 6 years ago, so I'm thinking it might have, you know, it might have been triggered by all of these.
By all of those sort of social changes in the social fabric of your family.
And it sounds like Janet had her cat to the vet to check out the health. So.
Sounds like it, which is really wise with a 16-year-old cat. And that can be actually tricky, you know. Yeah. I mean, there. You know, how many times have you been to a doctor and the doctor said the tests say you're fine, and you're like, "No, actually, I'm not. You know, something's wrong." So that can be tricky. You know, perhaps. So usually, if a cat's not going inside of a box, there are three main things to look at, and one is the box itself. Are there lots of them? There should be way more than one box. Where is the box? Is it a big enough box? Is it a box easy for a 16-year-old cat to get into? And that's something that's easy to forget about.
No.
Yeah, sometimes the side of the box is high that it's uncomfortable if a cat has, say, arthritis in its hips, for example. So cats will use a box for 15 years and then not the last year, you know, et cetera. So do be very thoughtful about the boxes. Most boxes are too small. The boxes you buy at the pet store are usually too small. Buy boxes bigger that are usually like the storage things you put under the bed. Make sure they're not too tall. Make sure the litter you're using isn't scented. It's something that you're sure the cat likes. You might have to experiment. Think about where the boxes are. Are they places that give the cat sort of an escape route if another cat shows up? So that's the box issue. Make sure there are plenty of them, more than one for sure. And often, again, because of age, a cat will go downstairs in the basement to use the box until it's 12. And then it's like, I'm 12. I'm not doing that anymore. One up here. I'm tired, you know. So think about that. The other is cats will be territorial about boxes. I had a lot of clients whose cats, when you looked at it, one of them put up a trail cam, actually. And sure enough, when her cat went to go into the box, the other cat showed up. None of this was seen by the owner until there was... it wasn't actually a trail cam. It was just like a, you know, camera that they set up on a timer. I don't think there were trail cams, but it was the idea, right? So they taped it. And sure enough, cat one was keeping cat two from actually using the box, sort of bullying it. So that's the other thing. And then third common is there is some kind of a medical issue. It hurts to pee, for example. And so cats are like, when I went in the box and peed, it hurt. So I'm not going to go in there anymore. I'm going to go outside of it because it hurts in there. When that's true, often you'll find cats using lots and lots of different spaces. If they're just going on the outside of the box, sometimes that's because the box is uncomfortable to get into. So lots of things for you to think about. But a cat that age, you know, so keep in mind health, pain, arthritis-related issues in terms of getting into the box.
And thanks for calling, Janet. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck. Mark in Mequon, your turn. Hi, Mark.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Larry. My question, I have just a two-part question about a cat also. We have two cats. One, they're both about 10 years old. One is an indoor-outdoor cat, but our cats only go outside when we go with them. We don't just open the door and let them run free. One's a female and one's a male. The male cat is, he loves the out-of-doors. He would stay out there all day if he had the opportunity. And he roams around, and we're concerned about one thing is that are we causing him a lot of undue stress by bringing him back in the house and then having to deal with being in the house? And
That's a really, really good question. It deserves a longer answer than I can give you, but I'll give you a short version, okay? The short version is he clearly would rather be outside all the time, but you know what? So would I. Right? So we can't always get what you want. I love that you're monitoring them, that, you know, you're protecting the environment and your cats as well as you can. I would just make coming in really fun. So when he comes inside, give him lots of reinforcement. Give him special treats. Give him some sardines. Give him, you know, some kitty treats. If he plays with toys inside, some cats do, some cats don't. But if he plays with toys inside, do that. So basically teach him it's fun to come back inside again. I'm not losing that much. It's hard to compete with the out of doors.
Yeah.
But give it a try. You can do it if you get the right food.
That's great advice. I think that's perfect advice.
Well, hope it works. We'll find out if it's perfect, Mueller.
Mark, let us know if it works or not. Yeah, I've got something I want to talk about that I'm hoping will work, and that's during our fall membership drive. We want to get lots of people calling in with their contributions. Jennifer Dargan joining us again. Your support's an essential part of funding for the program you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support, as we've been saying, it's the largest source of funding for our programs. And this drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give. And all you have to do is go to WPR.org and make your contribution or phone 888-202-2552. And do we have that dollar-for-dollar match still in effect?
It's still in effect. We have a dollar-for-dollar match going on right now thanks to a gift made in memory of Merle Gunther from Columbus, Wisconsin. We are not even halfway into that, so we've got plenty of room for you to join in. Your gift of $50 can turn into $100. $150 turns into $300. You get the idea. So please call, go online, take advantage of this match, and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Always fun for me to be on the show to talk with Patricia McConnell, sometimes Sandy Sawchuk, sometimes Scott Craven. There are a lot of great programs that we have here from 11 to 1230 and, frankly, throughout the day. And it's possible because we're listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and the many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
Larry, one of the folks who donated this morning was Emma. And when she pledged, she said, "Thanks to my wonderful parents, I have been listening to WPR regularly since I was little. I'm in my early 30s now, and I think that it's time I become a sustainer." Don't you love that? Thank you,
I
Emma.
I love that. She was here. I'd give her a big hug right
now. Oh, a virtual hug through the radio.
We'll do it virtually. Oh, man. You know, it's a wonderful to hear from people like Emma. What about you? Mm-hmm. What has your experience been like with Wisconsin Public Radio? Have you enjoyed the programming that we do. I hope you have. You probably wouldn't be listening if you hadn't. So make your contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
Certainly my education, but hopefully it's going to be worth it and going towards a good cause.
Rent, for sure.
Every time I turn around, my automobile insurance is increasing.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan. And your support makes the programs you rely on possible. And your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
That is the right amount. And you know what? You can take it a step further if you've already given. Thank you so much. But after you've donated, you can make your gift go even further by telling, bragging about it to your friends and family. I'm a Wisconsin Public Radio member. How about you?
And you can do that through social media. You can call them up or mention it when you see them. Just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR, it's going to help plant that idea in their mind. So make a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and then let your friends know how good it feels.
And I'll add that our dollar for dollar match is still in effect, so you can still get in on that. There's room for you. Give now, WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thank you.
Taking a look at your pet's behavior here on the Ideas Network, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist, author extraordinaire. Join in with your questions. Had a lot of cat questions, which is great. We can take some dog questions too, of course, at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Kurt in Wind Point has a question for us. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning.
Morning.
And Patricia, thanks for your answers, and Larry, thanks for hosting this.
Thank you.
My question involves a new-to-us rescue cat. She was taken to the pound and rescued twice, and we got her from the second rescue. She is a year old, neutered, vaccinated, you know, all the stuff, and she is an ideal personality. But she has a habit of ankle biting, and when we pet her on her back, she will frequently flip to her front and then try to bite your hand very affectionately, but we want to stop that behavior. We're grandparents, we're respite foster parents, we have a lot of little ones that visit, and we do not want them experiencing that kind of behavior.
Sure, and that's not atypical of a one-year-old, right? You basically have a teenager, right?
Yeah.
Right. And who knows how she grew up, you know, whether she learned, you know, what kind of social skills or lack of them she came with. So there are a lot of things you can do, and I'm so glad you're doing it now, you know, getting on it before she's three and has been doing this for a couple of years. That one of the first things to keep in mind is related to your when you stroke her back.
Mm-hmm.
That is not that one of the most common triggers of cats biting is stroking them. They said that it's really common for a cat to be very happy. They'll come up, they'll solicit it. It's like, please rub me, rub me, rub me, and then either they'll turn and want to play with you and do play biting, or they'll turn and bite you, like, stop that. So one of the things to think about is how do you pet the cat? I would keep your petting confined to her head area for now. So pet her under her chin, scratch her cheeks, you know, pet her around her ears. keep your hands up in that area. That tends to elicit less sort of biting behavior.
Yeah.
And don't do it for too long. So it's pay attention. So usually there's a time period. So you can like stroke a cat 7 times and they'll get bitey around 5. So, you know, stop at 4, for example. So be a good observer. Be your own animal behaviorist. Be your own Jane Goodall in your living room and sort of pay attention to exactly what triggers it. So that's the petting biting. In terms of the ankle biting, it's probably when you're walking through the house, right? When you go from A to B and you're moving, right?
Quite often, yes.
Okay. So what that's the best way I know to get around that. I mean, there are a couple of ways you can do it. You can use different kinds of punishment, which I like to avoid if possible. The best way I know to do that is to redirect the cat's playful behavior by using a fishing pole toy. So go to the pet store, buy some cat toys that are on like fishing poles, you know, on a long line, and then as you move through space, sort of get buy a couple so you have one in every room, you know, so you move through space with this to the side of you and direct your cat's attention to that. Off of your ankles and on to something appropriate. And very often, if you do that for a couple of weeks or a few months, then you just sort of squelch that ankle biting behavior.
That's more good advice. Kurt, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Mita in Houstonsford, your turn.
Hi, Larry and Patricia. Thank you so much for taking my call. I so love when Patricia is on. I used to love the show, listened religiously. I just have hopefully a helpful hint for the lady with the cat that was messing outside her box.
Oh, yay. That's why we love our listeners so much. Thank you.
I have an 18-year-old cat that was doing the same thing, and she was always, we've always had to have a high box for her because she was kind of a lazy squatter. And then she got to the point where I guess it was just too much trouble to step in there, so what I did was I took a flat, kind of a wide flat box and wrapped it in plastic in case of accidents and put paper on top of it for her to step on. And so she's got like a little extra step to help her in there.
Nice. Very, very smart. So, and thank you, Mita. That was really smart. And try, you know, there's another thing I've seen other people do, which is get a bigger box and you just cut a little entryway, so you know, on the long side of the box you basically cut the side down so there's a kind of a doorway and still has enough to keep the litter in. May make it a little less, you know, a little sloppier, but
have
basically
the broom handy.
But basically it will help them want to go inside the box, so that's a great idea, Mita, and you might try that other example as well.
And big boxes are so nice. You know, my two cats, I have come into the room where the box, this one big box is, and they'll both be in there at the same time going.
Yep. That's great.
And they're big cats. They're not, I mean, they're long cats.
And
they're
that means, one, you have cats who get along incredibly well, and two, you got a big box, and good for you.
So there you go. Thank you, Mita. Debbie in Delavan, your turn. Hi.
Hi, thank you for calling, taking my call. I have a cat that, he's a male, and he's 12 years old, and every night he picks up a little stuffed animal and walks around the house just meowing.
Oh.
I'm like, it's so cute, but he just seems so sad, like he's looking for something. And I just wondered what that means.
Well, oh my goodness. If you had just told me about the behavior, I would have said, well, this is a very common behavior with female cats.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, it's very often I'm driven by some kind of a hormonal surge. Cats are just like us, you know. Sometimes their hormones work in perfect sync, and sometimes they sort of get a little off kilter. But that's also possible with a male. You know, both male and female mammals, you know, have testosterone, they have progesterone, they have estrogen. So it's very possible that this is estrogen related. This is not my wheelhouse. I'm not a specialist in reproductive physiology by any means. So that would be something to pursue, to look into more. But that kind of kitten-like behavior is not uncommon at all in cats. Exactly what you described. They pick up a stuffed animal. They walk around making little. Is the sound something like?
No.
What
no,
is it? What's the sound like?
It's like a full meow, like he's calling somebody. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a male cat.
Yeah, it's muffled because he has this little stuffed dog in his mouth. And it's so strange, and I've never heard of anybody else having a cat that did that.
I have one last suggestion for you. Video it, put it on YouTube, it'll go viral, and you might get a lot of very interesting comments about people whose cats do the same thing.
You know, her cat is 12. Could there be an age-related thing?
It could. You know, hormones change. Yeah, it could be. There are so many things it could be. I'm assuming the cat is healthy, but if it was a real toy-oriented before, you know, then possibly. But it sounds more like it's calling for other cats. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, well, Debbie, it's
turn into a cat, Debbie. There you go.
It's a little bit of a mystery.
Yes, I'm going to ponder this. I'll get back to Larry later.
we'll ponder this mystery. There's no mystery to me though when it comes to contributions here at Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Jennifer Dargan has rushed back into the studio to talk with us about. The fact that your support is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. In fact, it's the largest piece. It makes what the Ideas Network is. It's your go-to place for great talks. So we'll get back to asking questions of Patricia very soon. But right now, we want to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The biggest way I can think of encouraging you to give a gift is just to think of the value you get from this show every day. All the great guests and topics and answers. And sometimes our callers, just like just happened, will call in and provide some additional information, which I always love. And the second thing I can do to encourage you to give is to tell you that we still have a dollar for dollar match going on right now. This dollar for dollar match was made in memory of Merle Gunther, a kind and generous listener from Columbus, Wisconsin. And it's a way to inspire you to support Wisconsin Public Radio right now. Right now you're thinking about it. You're enjoying the show. It's Pledge Drive time. We need you. Double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And of course, we don't want to lose any of the value of the $5,000. And we have about 4 minutes to reach our goal. So wonderful time for you to think about this program. Think about Patricia McConnell and all of the hours that she's been on Wisconsin Public Radio, all of the things that you've learned about maybe about your pet's behavior or just general information about pets, or maybe it was about your garden. We are listener supported, and that means that when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, you make this hour and the many more hours possible. So take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And if the dollar-for-dollar match and the great value that you get from this program is just not enough to tip you over the edge, can I tell you about our brand-new WPR travel mug? It is really nice. I actually had one of these earlier, and I lost it, and I was devastated because I use it every day. Your hot beverages really stay hot. It's one of those that works really well. Your cold stays cold. It's a 16-ounce stainless steel travel mug, and it's got a cool Wisconsin Public Radio design on it, so you can show off your pride in Wisconsin Public Radio wherever you go and tell people that you're a member. And it all starts with your gift of $20 a month or more for this mug at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that deal?
I'd love to go to the record store and name my price for a lot of the albums I see.
If I could pick and choose for shoes, that would be fantastic.
Netflix, streaming options, music, and a weekend cocktail, too.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether you contribute $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we just have a couple minutes left for this generous dollar-for-dollar match. Make your gift right now and get your donation matched. Your $50 gift can turn into $100 just like that, but only in these next few minutes. Take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now is really the time to give. We want to meet that matching goal. Give right now while you're thinking about it. It just takes a couple of minutes to contribute, and you're going to have a good feeling, aren't they?
It's going to be a good feeling, and then I'm going to just say that's a money-back guarantee that they'll have a good... If you don't have a good feeling after supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, you know, talk to me. I will take care of you. See what that's like. See what that good feeling feels like right now of not only giving, but having your pledge or your donation doubled. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we still have not met that goal. We got about $500 to go to reach that goal. So if you've been thinking about it, now is really the time to contribute and double the amount of your pledge. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. If you've already given, thank you. If you haven't given, please do it right now. We'll be back with Patricia McConnell right after this look at the news. But if you haven't contributed, do it right now. Taking a look at the behavior of your pet today here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Patricia McConnell, certified applied animal behaviorist, international speaker, and she's written a number of wonderful books. The Other End of the Leash is one that I loved, For the Love of a Dog, The Education of Will. Those are wonderful books, and she gives wonderful advice when it comes to your pet's behavior. So we will go right to the phones because there's so many people. Actually, there was one thing you wanted to bring up before we go to the phones that had to do with the male cat that was carrying around the little stuffed dog.
And meowing. And that was just bugging me. I just felt like I hadn't wrapped my brain around it yet. And the other thing I thought about was it is very common when cats live in the wild, when they catch a prey item, when they're coming back. Say the queen is coming back to her litter, or, you know, sometimes male cats don't provision very much, but sometimes they do. Cats do not read any of the chapters about cat behavior, right? So they often vocalize. So this well could be more like social predation behavior, as in, I'm coming back to you, look what I caught. So your cat might be meowing to say, look what I caught, and I'm bringing it to you. I love you so much. So you might want to take it or look at it and admire it like you would a two-year-old handing you their precious new stuffed toy, right, and say, oh, thank you. That's very impressive. We'll eat that later.
You know, I saw a little cartoon in the paper today, and it was about a cat that had brought this stuffed doll that the father didn't like very much and scared the father, and the little daughter was saying, well, he's bringing back, he doesn't get outside all the time, so he does the best he can.
He brings whatever he can.
He brings what he can. He's doing the best he can. So maybe that's the case here.
That's right. As are we all, doing the best we can.
Molly and Nina, your turn. Hi, Molly.
Hello.
Hi, thank you for calling.
So we have a sweet boy named Marlo. He's a red heeler, and we got him as a rescue in early June, and they said he's about a year and a half old. And when we take him out for walks,
He has started barking at other dogs and barking and lunging at cars that are driving by.
Mm. That makes walking fun, right?
Boy.
No.
And did he do it, and did he not do it for a while, and now he's suddenly doing it?
Correct. Yeah, well, he's been doing it for about a month, I'd say. So the first couple of months we had him, he didn't do it at all. And okay. Now he is.
Yeah, you know,
and
there's that.
If dogs are off leash, he does okay.
There's that sort of new dog 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 month rule where basically dogs can be really subdued when they get into a new environment. They're a little stunned, like we can be, right? And mm-hmm. sometimes they're on their worst behavior. Sometimes they're on their best behavior. And then as time goes on, they get a little bit more comfortable. He's also getting older. So that has a big effect in his behavior. So been there longer, gotten older, more comfortable. What are those things? And
those old bad
on my
habits.
Territory, and I'm a healer, and I want to chase the cattle. And so the good news is healers are smart as whips, and they're highly motivated by either toy play or really great food. So what you need to do is teach him a behavior, an incompatible behavior. Basically, if you see a car, rather than chasing it, you're going to get something really wonderful. If you turn and look at me, I will play tug with you with my toy. I will give you a piece of chicken. You have to decide what's the best reinforcement for him. And every dog is different. Some dogs, it's food. Play is great because, especially with young, high-energy dogs, they rarely, frankly, get enough play, you know, living yeah. as companion animals in our households. And so if he's toy-oriented, take some toys with you. And say a car appears a long way away. He's not in chase mode yet, right? But you're going to use the signal you taught him in a different context in your living room when it's quiet. You're going to teach him, look. And when he turns his head, you're going to give him the toy to play tug with, for example. You're going to throw the toy somewhere, or you're going to give him a food treat. He'll tell you which one works best when he's distracted. So first teach that so he knows it really well. I've mastered it. If there's no distractions and you say, look, I'm going to whip my head around because something wonderful is going to happen. So you've taught me to turn my head away from what I'm looking at when you say, look. And gradually start asking for him to do it when he's distracted a little bit. And don't start with cars right next to him, right? Go step by step by step. So he sees another dog 3 blocks away and you say, look. And he turns and looks at you. You back up one step and say, good boy, and play tug or give him a treat, whatever it is that works best for him. And then gradually you're going to ask him to do that when he's more and more distracted. The best thing to happen is that you teach him that he does this on his own without you saying, look. So you say he sees a car. You say, look, 5 times in a row. Every time he looks at you, the sixth time when he turns back and looks at that car, don't say a word. Just wait for it. Is he going to turn his head by himself? Yes, jackpot. Good boy. Give him lots of treats, one after the other. Good boy. So he learns to do it on his own, and that's what you're going for. That's your goal.
There you go. Thank you so much for that call, Molly. Appreciate it very much. Kelia, in Milwaukee, we'll go to you next. Hi.
Hi. I have... actually, one question, but I have the crazy situation of having 3 dogs in the house. Mm-hmm. One's a 7-month puppy shepherd, I think German shepherd maybe, and then one's a 13-month-old Shar-Pei mix. And both of them kind of nip at your hands as we're walking through the apartment. They'll, like, follow us and kind of nip a little bit. Just playfully, sometimes if they're really excited, it might be a little bit more... rough, but yeah, how do we get them to stop doing that?
Yeah, it sounds, you know, the description of the 2 young dogs you have, you sort of think of somebody with 3 kids under the age of 3 or 4 or
yeah.
something. You got a lot of work on your hands, right? And they are probably playing with each other, which is great, but also keeping each other pretty well aroused, right? So a couple of things. One, be sure nobody's doing hand play, and it well might be that you're not at all. I don't want to suggest you are, but a lot of people do. One person in the family will sort of do this hand play where they sort of start slapping at the dog's face to get them to sort of turn and nip at their hands. It seems to be a guy thing, just observing as an objective animal behaviorist. I see more men do it than women. But so make sure that's not happening, that nobody ever plays with the dog's hands. If it happens, what I would try first, and this may not work, but it has a good chance of working, is your dog, you're walking through the house, the dog jumps up or puts its head up, basically, I don't know how tall they are now, and nips at your hands. I would squeal like you've been brutalized. So it would sound like, ready, ready, right? It would sound like, except really loud, right? Like a terrified seal. A-W-R-P. Like arp, 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 but really, really loud and really fast. Punch it out really, really fast. Usually it gets a startle response. So that means that there's no nor nipping because the dog is like, whoa, what was that? And then you have to act immediately. Because if you just wait, they might go like, oh, that was nothing. I'm going back to nip the hand again. But if you say, hey, where's your toy? Where's your toy? And redirect it to a toy, then you've taken that window of opportunity that you created with that startle response and taught them the right way to play. So that's what I would focus on. Pay a lot of attention to when it happens and get that startle response and then quick, be ready to redirect them. Not 3 seconds, just bang, where's the toy? So have toys all over your house.
There you go, Kelia. Thank you very much for calling. Good luck.
So I've created a safety issue now. She's going to trip on all these toys, this mountain of toys I'm suggesting. But she has 2 dogs that age of those breeds. You need a mountain of toys on your carpet.
Regardless of whether they nip or not. Let's go to Patty in Door County next. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Patricia. What a delightful program you always have, but especially today. We have Pumpkin, and she had a brother, and 4 years ago he died. So we adopted a cat right away because my heart was too broken, and we got Humvee. And he was only about 1 year old, so she is now 13, and he's 4. And it took 1 year for us to get everything really wonderful. But he does, he's really rambunctious, and he plays. He was a feral that they were able to train, and so when we adopted him, he's just high energy. And she's 13. So I'll be in one room, and then I'll hear, like, Pumpkin screaming, and I go out there, and they both look like, what? Like, what do you want? So I don't think he's hurting her, but does she just, in defense, call out kind of like, almost like you were saying that you made sounds like a seal, and does that just stop him from being too rambunctious with her, or is he, in fact, being too rambunctious?
Oh, I love that you're asking these questions. Not to mention that you adopted this feral cat. Yay for you. That's wonderful. And now it's being kept inside. Yay. So here's the answer to your question. The cats are going to tell us. I can't answer it, but the cats can. If they start playing right after that sound is made, so if your older cat maybe yelps like, ow, you hurt me, you brute, right? And then doesn't leave the room, but initiates play again or is perfectly happy to engage in play after that, then I wouldn't worry about it. I think that's just communication. Your
little teaching moment there.
Teaching moment, Larry.
From one cat to another.
Thank you. From an elder, right? A teaching moment from an elder. It's like, don't play like that. You know, that's too rough. If it happens a lot and it's prolonged, then I would try and spend a little bit more energy figuring out what's going on. I don't know if it only happens when you're not. Does it happen only when you're not in the room? Have you seen it happen?
Oh, it usually happens when I'm not in the room, but they know I'm right in the next room.
Well, that's suspicious.
And it's really interesting that you said that because Pumpkin taught him. He never purred or anything, and she taught him how to be a cat.
Oh.
He didn't. 2 years, and now everything. She taught him how to sleep on the bed. It took 1 year, but Humvee is just really. He learned from her, and but I just, we're nervous to go away because I don't know what he's doing if I'm not here. And if I can't get someone to stay in the house, I would have a cat sitter. But it seems like they're fine. There's no fur flying. It just is kind of like one yelp, like, stop it. And then they either go back to sitting near one another or I'm.
Yeah.
Then I think you're okay. I would pay attention to it. I mean, I think you're really smart to be very observant and thoughtful about it. So I would pay attention to it if it escalates, if it becomes more frequent, if the vocalizing is longer, if your older cat leaves the room, you see any sign that is avoiding the younger cat, then it's time to pay attention. And if you're concerned, it never hurts to have cats in separate rooms when you're gone. If they're comfortable, if they're comfortable being alone, just shut the door to the bedroom or wherever. If you're not going to be gone too long, never hurts to be, especially with an older cat, to be, you know, a little cautious.
A little careful.
Yeah, if you're a little worried about it. I don't want you worried when you're gone. So that
there
never
you go.
Hurts.
Patty, thank you. John and Shano, your turn. Hi, John.
Well, hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a 12-plus-year-old black lab mixed doggy born in my living room floor. That's a totally different story. Going back 12-plus years. Last fall, this Amish place that I get my propane filled, the mama dog, a rat terrier, was very pregnant. I asked for one of the puppies.
And so now you have another puppy.
She was born on 12-12, December 12th, so now 9-plus, you know, months old. She takes after her father, which was a Jack Russell, which I had never seen. Anyway.
So everything's perfect between the two of them, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Right. Anywho, yeah, so the old Stella, she's a black lab mix, about maybe 65-ish pounds, and brought the little tiny rambunctious one home, and she goes, I don't want no stinking puppy. But the little one is getting better now. They're both female, but she will still occasionally, I'm talking about the young puppy Jack Russell mix, will get aggressive and actually clamp her little tiny jaws onto, you know, the not the throat, but just the, you know what I mean, of the old dog, Stella.
So she's trying to dominate a little bit there, or is she?
Absolutely. But then the old dog says, that's fine, Dad, after I break it up.
Good, really good questions, and very common for puppies to, be a little rude sometimes. And so, John, I love that you're intervening. If especially with an older dog, it's very often great to let dogs work it out themselves as long as there's no concern about safety. But, you know, if you have an over-rambunctious puppy who's being a little rude, sometimes older dogs are a little slow. Sometimes they're a little bit too tolerant. So anytime you find yourself feeling like, you know, that's a little much, you know, Stella's putting up with a little too much here, there's nothing wrong with you intervening. Don't punish the puppy. You just want to distract him. Just intervene, you know, hello. Hello. What's going on over here? Let's distract you and get you playing with something else. There's nothing wrong with very benevolently, sort of quietly intervening to protect Stella. I love that name.
Yeah.
Stella. We all got to say Stella. Good luck, John.
John, thank you so much for calling. Patricia McConnell, our guest today, certified applied animal behaviorist, author of The Other End of the Leash, For the Love of a Dog, and The Education of Will, among other things. Always great to have her with us.
Always fun to be here.
And it's always fun to have Jennifer Dargan stop by, because when she comes in the studio, I know, hey, it's time to talk about the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You rely on the Ideas Network for information, for interesting discussions. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong.
That's true. And you really came through for us last hour, and we really want to say thank you. We had a matching challenge grant, and we met it and more. So thank you so much. If you were one of the, 57 folks that pledged, that gave a gift last hour, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And I will just say one more time that matching grant was in memory of Merle Gunther, a kind and generous listener from Columbus. Thank you so much for those that gave that matching grant on his behalf. Thank you. Now, this hour, we're doing really great. This half hour here, we've only got a couple of minutes, but as you've been talking to Patricia, Larry, the pledges have been streaming in. I love it when that happens.
Yeah, me too.
An easy lift for us. And we are looking for six more donations in these last 6 minutes. We can do it.
Yeah, we had 15 as a goal, and we've already heard from 9, so
Thank you. My math
is right. That leaves 6 more of you, and you can be one of the 6 right now. We're listener-powered. That means that these goals are important. They help us stay on track to fund the programs you count on. So do your part now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I can't think of a topic that we have not covered on the Ideas Network. You name it, and you've heard about it in the years that you've been listening to the Ideas Network. Science, environment, pets, even sports. It's a really valuable service and a service worth supporting.
So make your contribution of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, to support these programs you enjoy. This is your chance to make the programs possible at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And maybe you haven't heard, or maybe you've heard and are excited about it. This member drive, we have a drawing for tickets to see Hamilton in Chicago, and that includes dinner and an overnight stay, so you'll be completely taken care of. No contribution is necessary. You can see all the rules at WPR.org/drawing, or, hey, better yet, you can help us toward this goal. We have 5 donations we're still looking for. Help us. You're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Jane from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustaining member and a plan giver. I love Wisconsin Public Radio. As a matter of fact, I can't imagine my life without it. When I get up in the morning, Wisconsin Public Radio keeps me company while I get ready for the day. When I'm in the kitchen making a meal, Wisconsin Public Radio is always on, and I cannot imagine a weekend without the entertainment of Wisconsin Public Radio. Being a sustaining member has simplified my life, because every time the fund drives would come on, I would think, oh my goodness, I have to get out my checkbook. Now, I breathe easy knowing that I'm already a supporter. I would encourage you to consider doing the same for something that is such a vital resource for our community.
And you can become a sustainer, or if you don't want to be a sustainer right now, you just make a contribution. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support, still the biggest source of funding for our programs. And that's why your support during this drive is so important. And I don't care if your gift is $10 or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. We're getting near the end here.
We are.
Jennifer?
And so you can help us out when you and 4 more people join in. In this hour, we're looking for 5 donations. When that happens, we will meet our goal and we'll have the money to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time really is right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
As a donor, you get to decide how much to give, maybe $100 a month, maybe $1 a month, whatever amount is right for you. That's what we want you to contribute.
Right. You can think about the things that you spend money on and what it adds value to your life. Maybe how much do you spend going out to dinner with friends, or going to see shows, or for your Netflix, things like that. Do those add value to your life? Well, so does Wisconsin Public Radio and the Ideas Network. The important thing is that you decide what amount works for you and your budget, and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have to go away in just a few seconds, but there's still a couple minutes at least for you to help us meet our goal. Give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. A big thanks if you've already contributed. If you haven't, what a great time to do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller.